So I'd like to start with prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our sovereign God. Thank you for being a perfect God. A God that knows our every need, our every thought, our every emotion. A God that knows our need for your hope, your promise, your love, your strength, and your righteousness. We worship you this morning. We declare you as the true and living God. And we bow before you now, Lord God, in humility to worship you, to seek your face, to invite your spirit to speak and to fill our hearts and our minds. I pray for myself this morning, Lord. Father, I pray that you would give me strength, that you would speak through me and or in spite of me, that your words, Lord God, would be spoken and heard. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord God, for your blessings. Your blessings don't depend on us. Lord God, your love doesn't depend on us. Nothing we do can make you love us any more or any less. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Anyways, glad to be celebrating Father's Day with you this morning. Because some of you may have heard back on Mother's Day, around Mother's Day, I don't know. Did some of you hear that in the news there was a school that was looking at canceling Mother's Day activities or Father's Day activities? Some of you guys hear that in the news or on the internet or whatever about a month or so ago? So it made the rounds. It was a school, in fact, right here in BC. Hey, BC's making news around the world. A school in BC sent a letter home and to the parents and said, we're canceling Mother's Day activities and Father's Day activities to support diversity and inclusion. And this is the letter that was sent back. It said, dear parents, as Mother's Day and Father's Day approach, we have met as a primary grade 1 and 2 team to discuss our core values in an effort to celebrate diversity, inclusivity, and also nurture our students who are part of non-traditional families. We have decided to encourage those celebrations to take place at home. Due to this, the children will not be making gifts at school to give on Mother's Day and Father's Day. We feel each family knows the best way to celebrate with their own family. Thank you for understanding. You can imagine the reaction on the internet to that letter. And with social media and the global nature of our internet now, boom! Boy, did it bring a lot of reaction. To me, the school did explain afterwards that part of it was because one of the students was experiencing some family trauma around family. They couldn't explain or disclose why, but they explained that was part of the reason. So I'm not sure what to make of this specific situation, but there were comments on the internet like, hey, this is a really smart idea. There's a lot of support for non-traditional families because some families have two dads or two moms or one dad or one mom. I'm not sure what to make of it. You can imagine the debate that it generated on the internet. For me, it just sounds like political correctness gone wrong. And for me, I'm just glad that we can celebrate and appreciate and honor our mothers and our fathers and to recognize the model of marriage and family that God gave to us. Because today, for Father's Day, I want to say, fathers matter. Fathers matter. No matter what the world around us may say, the statistics and the studies eventually point us to God's model being the right model. One example is that studies have shown that daughters in fatherless homes are at higher risk for early sexual activity and adolescence pregnancy. Studies in 2003, funded by the National Institute of Mental Health in U.S. and in New Zealand, followed 700 girls from preschool age to 18 years old. And in conclusion, won't go through the whole study, they found that The fathers, this is what they said, father's absence was an overriding risk factor for early sexual activity in adolescent pregnancy. Conversely, father's presence was a major protective factor against early sexual outcomes, even if there were other risk factors present. Teenage girls raised without fathers are also more likely to suffer depression, drop out of school, and have other behavioral problems. Youth in fatherless homes have suicides 5 times the average. 75% of the adolescents in chemical abuse centers in the U.S. are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, according to the U.S. government in 1988. 70% of the prison inmates for violent crimes are from fatherless homes. Fathers matter. Fathers, you matter. And we don't need the statistics. We know this because we know God's model. We know his ways will always prove to be the right way. We will taste the fruit and the experience of the blessings from fearing the Lord, obeying his commands, and following his ways. And we also don't need government studies to tell us that, well, men are kind of different than women. Fathers are kind of different than mothers. I know a number of years ago when I was in university, there was this big cover story on Time magazine. And I know most of you don't know what Time magazine is nowadays because you don't actually even know what a magazine is. But magazines in the old days, okay, were paper things that, you know, they stapled together with a whole bunch of interesting articles and probably what replaces what you would look at on the internet in terms of a website. But anyways, Time magazine came up with this cover story that said, the studies have shown men are different than women. Blow me away. That is just unbelievable. I don't know how much they spent studying that, but, you know, we don't need the Bible, and God has already told us that men and women are different. Question for you. Well, men in general, okay, this is only general, we tend to be more aggressive. We tend to be more competitive. We tend to be more risk-taking. And so, I don't know much about the science, but I'm going to guess that it has to do something with that male hormone that we talk about, testosterone. Any guesses how much more testosterone that men have compared to women? Any guesses? Actually, the bodies, men and women, both create this testosterone hormone, but men get it created at very different levels than women. Any guesses? How much more do the males? Should I ask the guys this or the girls this? Okay, how many times more?
-1.
No, not right, but good try. The production rate of testosterone in the male body is 20 times higher in men than in women. 20 times higher, and then the actual levels within our bodies maintain at about 7 to 8 times higher than women. Men, we're typically the hunter-gatherer types, right? And we're going to go up and we're going to slay some animal and bring that food home. We go to war. We go to the battle. We fight to conquer, to achieve. We fight to protect and to defend. We have this tendency to take charge and want to take that hill and conquer that hill. Now, this is general, okay, I know. But generally, that's the way we men are built. We want to build to achieve. And we all want to achieve and build something with lasting success and enduring significance. Now, I'm speaking to the fathers because it's Father's Day, but this, of course, applies to fathers, men, boys, women, children. We want to build and achieve something of lasting success and significance because that's the way God wired us. And so that's what I want to talk to today. The question is, you're building something with your life. What are you building? What are you building? Some people are building a great career. You can spend your life climbing the corporate ladder, learning the skills, getting the right promotions, achieving the company goals. You're a career builder. Other people are wealth builders. Their focus is on making more money, accumulating it, amassing it, acquiring it, stockpiling it. Their primary focus is on the investments and the real estate. What have I got? Let's look at my RRSPs. Let's look at my stock portfolio. And every year or every so often, they'll look at it. Do I have more than I did last year? Some people are primarily focused on wealth building. Other people are focused on home building. They want to create the right home, to have the right home, the right furnishings, the right decor, the beautiful landscaped garden. You'd know from the weeds in my yard and the dead grass, that's not me. I'm really trying to rebuild that grass. But anyways, they're the Martha Stewart type's homes. And at the end of the life, if their sole focus is on building this home, they'll have a beautiful home to show. Some people are bodybuilders. They work on their bodies, their physical fitness, how healthy they are, what they're eating, toning, exercise, but also how they look. Do they look great? Looking good and feeling good, so they spend all their energies. These are building a career, building your finances, building your home, taking care of your body. They're not necessarily bad things, but the problem is they're not going to last. You were created much more than this temporary life. None of those things will last. You weren't made to build a career and then die. You weren't made to build this financial empire of money and then die. God made you for eternity. And so if you want to build something of true significance, of lasting purpose, with real impact and a real legacy, then you want to build a truly great life. And you want to build what Pastor Rick Warren calls, you want to be a kingdom builder. A kingdom builder. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 says this. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Using the gift that God gave me, I did the work of an expert builder. Now each of you must be careful how you build. You must be careful how you build. Matthew 6:33 says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what's a kingdom builder? The kingdom builder is someone who builds the kingdom of God. Someone who understands that God created you for a very unique purpose. Of the billions of people on this earth, there's only one you. And God created you specifically with a specific purpose and a specific role within his kingdom. God has a plan for your life. And as a kingdom builder, you pursue God's plan and God's will for your life. You fulfill God's purpose. And in doing so, you're building the unique part of the kingdom that he designed you to build. That is the key to a great life. That is the key to building of something of lasting legacy, impact, and eternal value. So, I'm going to share with you very quickly five keys to kingdom building. And as I run through them, I just want to clarify, I'm preaching to myself. I have a lot of shortcomings as a father, as a man of God, as a brother, as a servant. I've still got a long ways to go. God's still working in me. And so I don't have this down pat, and I need to hear it, and I do want to share it with you, and I'm hoping you'll be blessed as I preach to myself. Joshua 1:9 is actually the scripture that I forgot to read at the beginning, so we'll read that. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We'll come back to that. The first thing that we want to talk about in terms of the key to building something of significance, to being a kingdom builder, is that it must start with a strong foundation. I'm going to go through five strengths. And as guys, we all tend to appeal or to gravitate towards things of strength. So I've got five strengths. The first strength is a strong foundation. What does this mean? To build anything great and lasting, you need to start with a solid foundation. God must be our foundation. The foundation of anything, as you see construction around, you can see construction happening nearby here. I'm not sure exactly what's going up. It's probably a big high-rise. But if you've ever gone past a construction site when they've cleared everything and they've just got this piece of land, have you ever noticed sometimes that there's just huge, huge pile of dirt? They've cleared the ground and they've got this huge pile of dirt on this site. I don't know if you've noticed that. What they're doing is they're preparing the foundation. They've amassed, I don't know how many thousands or pounds of dirt it is, but what they're doing is they're taking this huge amount of soil and dirt and putting it on the foundation, on the ground, so that it will settle and compress the ground underneath it. By doing that, and they leave it there for a long time. So if you drive past some of these construction sites, you'll see, hey, there's this big pound of dirt there. How come nobody's doing anything? You know, are they on holidays? When are they? There's just a pile of dirt, and it'll be there for a long time. And they will do this to ensure that when they're building the foundation is strong. The foundation is the limiting factor to how big, how strong, how tall your building is going to be. So, let me ask you this question. What's the foundation of your life today? What's the foundation of your life today? Do you know what your foundation is? Because a strong foundation will lead to a strong construction and enable a strong life. A weak and wimpy and wobbly foundation is going to lead to disaster. It's going to lead to disaster. You know, I don't know how much you guys like this rain, but, you know, at my home, the rain has been interesting because we have a 50-year-old home. And when we bought the home a few years back, the inspector said, hey, by the way, you know, probably in the next 5 years, you're probably going to need a new roof. That was about, I think, 3.5, 4 years ago. Kind of thought I had a bit more time on it, but the rain ended up coming. As you know, it's been crazy. And one day, looking up, and the wake-up call was water dripping from the pot lights. I think we got a leak in the roof. Anyways, long story short, got to go out, find somebody, put a new roof on. Because the roof has basically had its day. So the question for me is, am I going to spend $10,000 or more on a roof that's going to last 40, 50 years with a guarantee? Or am I going to spend $5,000, $6,000, actually it was about $6,000, $7,000, on a roof that maybe has a shorter lifespan, but will cost a little bit less? What do you think I did? How many of you think I got the 40, 50-year roof that's going to last a long, long time? Put your hand up if you think Uncle Phil went and got the roof that's going to last a long time. You're wrong. It's not because I'm cheap either. My house is 50 years old. The foundation of my house is probably not that strong. I think there's going to come a day in the next short while that it's going to take a bulldozer and whatever. So if I think my foundation, if I think what I've got there is not strong and not going to last, I'm going to be making decisions and putting on half-strong roofs because I don't think we're going to be there in the same house 20 years from now. The strength of your foundation is going to determine your choices and what you do and how you build. And so if your foundation is not on God, then you're in trouble. Things are going to shift. Have you ever been in a house where the foundation has shifted? You'll see cracks running through the ceiling. If you come to my place, don't look at the ceiling. If the foundation moves, you'll see cracks. You need something that's unchanging, non-shifting, and so God must be the foundation of your life. Proverbs 24:3 says, through godly wisdom, a life, a home, and a family is built, and through understanding, it is established on a solid foundation. No one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. The storms and the floods will hit you. The earthquake will hit you. It's not a question of if. In our lives, Jesus himself, when he was on earth, said, you know what? In this life, hate to say it, you will have trouble. They hit us all. When they do, you need a strong and solid foundation. Faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Hebrews 11:1. The strength and security of having God as your foundation in life will also flow over into strength and security for your family and for your children. So to the fathers, your faith in your relationship with God will be the strong foundation for your life and will also provide that safe and secure foundation that your kids will see and know. The second one, second strength is strong prioritization. Yeah, that's kind of a long word. It sounds like a banking word. Prioritization. Any of you have ever read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? It's okay. It's from the 80s. really good book by Stephen Covey. He calls this first things first. I read this in my university days, and it's very true. Effective people, people who get things done, who accomplish goals, they know how to do the first things first. The rest of us, you know, hey, there's a good video on YouTube. I got to check the Facebook and see how many likes I've got for my last quote and see how many new friends I've got. We kind of get distracted by many things. They can be good things, they can be bad things. But this is true in your studies, in your schooling. If you do first things first, how many of you love writing papers and essays? I don't actually, and I find it really hard to do. So usually I'll clean my closet before I do my essay. I'll actually vacuum the floor first. Priorities, first things first. We have this tendency. Strong prioritization. Matthew 6 said, as we read earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There are a lot of things competing for your time and attention and your energy. Reality is you can't and won't do them all. You have to be very careful not to be lured away and distracted by the other priorities in life. Some of them are great causes. Some of them are great things. But you know what? Not all of them have your name on them. And sometimes we have to say, you know, that's a great cause, that's a great ministry, or a great mission. But today, that one doesn't have my name on it. Maybe tomorrow, maybe another time, but not today. A kingdom builder knows what's at the top of God's list of commands. What's the top priority on God's list of commands? Anybody? What's the top? What's at the top of God's list of commands? The greatest commandment. The very top says, sound familiar? Love your God, Lord your God. Love your neighbor. First things first. Strong prioritization says, you know that it's all about love. You can have a lot of money, you can accomplish a lot of things, you can fulfill a lot of goals and achieve a lot of things. But at the end of the day, without love, it's meaningless. We know God says that in Corinthians. If you do all this stuff without love, it's meaningless and you've missed your purpose. God created you to be loved and to love. We're to love God and to love others. Galatians 5:6 says this, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. One day when you and I stand before God, he's not going to ask you, how much money did you make? How well did you do in your career? Hey, how much did you bench press? How physically fit was your body? How good did you look? He's going to ask you, how well did you love? Because that was at the top of his list of priorities for you and me and commands for you and me. A kingdom builder knows strong prioritization. A kingdom builder also knows a strong commitment to great purpose. Strong commitment to great purpose. Do you know what the secret is to greatness? The secret to greatness is that you have a great cause. You see, there's no great people in the world, you've probably heard it say. There's common people. There's only great causes and great purposes. Great people are simply ordinary people like you and me who make a great commitment to a great cause and a great purpose. Great people are simply ordinary people like you and me who make a great commitment to a great cause and a great purpose. That cause or purpose that's bigger than yourself. It draws you out of yourself and draws greatness out of you. Heaven and earth will pass away. Everything around us will be burned up by the fire. Your career, your home, your finances, your hobbies, none of this will last. God's kingdom will last. And there's no greater purpose than fulfilling your place in God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 says, whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Greatness comes from serving. It's true in any occupation. You want to be a great teacher? You serve your students. You want to be a great business owner? You serve your customers. You want to be a great coach? You serve your students. Greatness comes from serving. Mark 8 says, if you insist on saving your life for yourself, you will lose it. Only those who give away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. Only those that give away their lives will know what it really means to live. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, because you are working for the Lord, not for people. You're working for the Lord, not for people. You know, we're looking for a full-time pastor. Actually, we're looking for a couple of full-time pastors. And I don't know how many of you are in full-time ministry, but if you are in full-time ministry right now, would you raise your hand, please? If you're in full-time ministry, would you raise your hand? Wrong answer. Let's try this again. Okay, we're going to do it this. We're going to do it in reverse. Everybody, raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. Now I'm going to ask the question. Everybody who's in full-time ministry, raise your hand. Good job. That's the right answer. Because you know what? We are all The Bible says we are all in full-time ministry. It's called the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. We are all full-time ministers. We're not all called to be a pastor. We're not all called to go into the mission field. Some of us be called to do so. But we are all called to be full-time ministers. Salvation comes, the gift of salvation comes with a ministry of serving. Some of us are in different occupations. Some of us are accountants, some of us are bankers, some of us are, we come from all walks of life. Pastor said one time, he said, God didn't make us accountants or drivers or customer service representatives. He made us full-time ministers. And then what he does is he disguises us as bankers and accountants and lawyers and doctors, football players. And then he sends you and me out to go hang out with the other football players, customer service representatives, bakers, so that we can carry out our full-time ministry of declaring the gospel and sharing the love of Christ. We're all full-time ministers. First John 2, verse 17 says, "This world and all its desires, all those things that everybody else wants will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever." If your phone rang right now, well, it should be on vibrate mode, but if your phone rang right now, and if on your phone you saw the call display and it said, "President of the United States." Okay, for those of you that are not Trump fans, Prime Minister of Canada, or how many of you guys would look at that and go, "Yeah, hey Trump, not right now, I'm actually kind of busy, I'm in the middle of my Clash Royale, I'm building an empire, and I'll talk to you later." How many of you would say, "Well, actually, I'm sorry, I'm really busy right now, I'm doing the laundry." Or, "Actually, no, you know what, I got a report I need to do," or, "Actually, I'm studying right now, I got a final. Next week? Do you know what this exam schedule is like next week? There's two or three of them on the same, in those couple of days. I'm really busy right now, Prime Minister, but I'll talk to you later." None of you would ever do that. Do you know what? God is calling and talking to us and telling us about our purpose and our plan in his world. And I'm wondering if some of us have the phone, what's that option? There's answer, and then there's what's the other one that says excuse? Pre-recorded, I'm busy. I love hearing about people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I heard that a week ago from a brother. I love hearing about people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Those are going to be kingdom builders. Because God has his purpose, has his plan, and he's going to tell you and me what his purpose and his plan is. He's going to prompt you. The Holy Spirit is going to prompt you and nudge you to do things, to say things, to go places that you wouldn't normally think or want to do. And if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you are going to be in the middle of God's purpose and plan for your life, and you are going to have an amazing, great life, building a great legacy. It can be something simple, like the professor that was at the gas station pumping his gas. And the guy on the other side, quick conversation about sharing or just, "Hi, how's it going?" led the person to Christ at the gas station. a person just went from a trajectory of going to hell for all eternity to heaven, to being a child of God, because somebody obeyed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. I love hearing those stories. The prompting of the Holy Spirit comes to us as men, women, adults, and children. Samuel was a little boy when he heard the voice of God. Does God still speak to boys and girls, men and women, today? I say he does. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to God's leading and direction and his calling for your life so that you can have and find that great purpose in God's kingdom and fulfill that. The fourth, running out of time, the fourth strength is strong fellowship. And so, guys, let's just cut right to the chase. We suck at this. Guys are terrible at this thing called fellowship and real community. Real community, for me, I've shared with you, I think, before, to know, to be known, to love, to be loved, to celebrate and to be celebrated, to serve and to be served, to disciple and to be discipled. It's a place where we believe, we belong, we grow, we give, and we gather. Real community, real fellowship. That is a strength that we need if we want to be a kingdom builder. And we don't do that very well as men. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. How sharp is your iron? Men, we need to sharpen each other. We need to help each other. And so the question is, for the men and the fathers, are you building yourself up through the fellowship with other men and other brothers? We need to have the right people around us and the right friends. Proverbs 14:7 says, escape quickly from the company of fools. They're a waste of your time and words. On the other hand, it says in Proverbs 2, verse 20, join the company of good men and women. That's the kind of company in church that we have with Christian brothers and sisters, who will keep your feet on the right and true paths. We need the fellowship of brothers and sisters, and we just got to get better at it. The storms of life will come. Community is really important. They did an experiment once. This brain neuroscientist. They had this. They connected a bunch of people to electrodes, etc. And then this virtual game. And this virtual game was a game of catch. So I'm here, you're there, and we're just throwing catch. Bang, bang, bang. And they just check the brain and see what areas of your brain light up. After a while, they said to the other people, okay, now I want you to don't throw the ball to Phil. Just everybody play catch, but don't throw the ball to Phil. So they did this experiment, and then they monitored the brain, and two areas of the brain lit up. Ding, 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 in that person that was not getting the catch. These two areas of the brain really surprised the neuroscientist, because those are the same areas of the brain that light up when you experience physical pain. Amazing. Amazing how the impact of being in community or not being in community, having this connection or not having this connection, actually affects us. Science is catching up to God. They'll never catch up to God. Science is always trying to catch up to God. God already has told us that we need community, that he meant and the model is for us to have community. The last and final focus is a strong focus. We, if we're going to be kingdom builders, need strong focus. We know that light, if this light is focused, it can become a flashlight. It can help us in the darkness. If we take that and we focus it more, it can create fire. If we take the light and focus it more, it can cut through steel. It is the power of focus. And as men and as kingdom builders, we need to have a strong focus. The brain neuroscientist guy, he said, you know, when they studied the brain, and you know, I'm running out of time, but we tend to do a lot of multitasking in the world today, especially young people. And we think, oh, yeah, we're multitasking. So when the neuroscientists study the brain and study how things work, they know that you don't actually multitask. There's no such thing as multitasking. It doesn't work. What happens is your brain switches from one thing to another, one thing to another, one thing to another, and you switch back and forth. And the neuroscientist said, you know what? You lose 20 to 30% of your efficiency. Wasted. Flipping back and forth. You might think you're really good at it, and we might flip our screens a lot, but you're losing 20 to 30%. The power of focus. We need to have focus. Good leaders also do not let criticism detract. Because when we are on God's mission, we are going to be criticized. We are going to be challenged. It takes great courage to be a kingdom builder. The world and the people around us are going to challenge you. But great things are built by people who go against the crowd. And we have to drop the desire for the applause of man. We need to fear God, the approval or disapproval of God, more than we need to fear the disapproval of man. Most of us, if we're honest, we are greatly affected by the concept of the disapproval of people around us, the rejection because of their opinion of what we're doing or saying or thinking or wearing or eating or whatever. And if we're going to be kingdom builders, we need to focus and we need to understand that our fear of God's disapproval must be greater than the fear of man's approval. The last thing I'm going to close with is that if we're going to be kingdom builders, we need to have strong focus, meaning that we need to get up. You're going to get knocked down. I'm going to get knocked down. I've been knocked down. A kingdom builder and building a legacy will come from those of us, we get up. Some have said that's the true measure of greatness, that you get up. I'm going to close with this note. I was at a funeral 2 weeks ago. I was at a funeral, and at this funeral, the person passing away was a, had, let me think, 14 grandchildren. No, 14, yeah, 14 grandchildren and 22 children. And she had great grandchildren. Anyways, I think it was 14 great grandchildren. And it was pretty amazing. And, you know, at a funeral, they talk about, all the things that people are, their lives, and what they, how they've impacted people, the legacy of someone's life. And I love funerals for that aspect of it. Yes, there's the grieving. That's a very sorrowful part. But we talk about legacy, and it reminds us of legacy. And my challenge to you this morning is, don't wait till it's too late. At the funeral, it's too late to build a legacy. At the funeral, it's too late to fulfill God's purpose for your life, to make an eternal impact. God has created us. He has a plan and a purpose, and He created us to do great things. He prepared them in advance of your birth and my birth. Let's be kingdom builders. Let's do these things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank